We find various rabbinic prohibitions that were instituted solely for the purpose of creating a barrier and some kind of separation between Klal Yisrael and the Umas HaOlam. So for example, we're told that the Medrash mentions that Bizchus Shlosha Dvarim, in the merit of three different things, Nigalu Avoseinu Mimitzrayim, although the Jewish people made many terrible mistakes and fell pretty low in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, there were three things that they held on to, and that is Shloshinu Eshemam, that they didn't change their names, Lo Shinu Es Malbusheyem, Velo Shinu Es Lishonam. They kept their mother language, they didn't totally integrate, and they kept their own names, and they kept their own kinds of clothing. There's an amazing comment of the Beis Halevi in Parsha Shemos, and you'll understand in a minute why we mention it with regard to Parsha's Kisisa. But there he says, commenting on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, L'Reach Shimanecha Tovim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the scent, the smell of our shemen, of our oil, is considered to be something that is good, that is positive. So what exactly is that a reference to? Says the Beis Halevi, Ma shemen eino misarev im hamashkim. Just like we know, if you mix oil into water, it will not fuse, it will not coalesce, it will not blend to become a part of the mixture. Af Yisrael ein misarvim im b'nei noach. So too, as much as we might be in exile, and as much as we might be together with the Umas HaOlam, and we're in business with them, and we do many interactions throughout the day and the year, where we are confronted with the Umas HaOlam, says the Medrash, in the end of the day, we do not completely conform to their way of life. We do not fully integrate with them, and we always make sure to have some sort of separation. Writes the Beis Halevi, La'olam nishar ha-hevdel amakomo v'kiyumo. We always have made sure to hold on to that kind of separation that distinguishes the Jewish community from all others. And the Beis Halevi writes something frightening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan ha-Torah va-mitzvahs li-Yisrael. Why is it that God gave us the Torah and the mitzvahs? Why is it that we are asked to abide by all these laws? He says the reason why is just she'yihu muvdalim mibnei noach. Just in order that we should have some sort of structure of separation. Where does the Beis Halevi learn this from? Because the Torah says, "Va'avdil eschem min ha'amim," and I have separated you from all others. And therefore, writes the Beis Halevi, this really was the objective of all that was done by giving the Torah. V'im Yisrael ha'im mekarvim atzmam chalila lahem. If the Jewish people go far enough as to make themselves connected and too much integrated with those around them and with ever the host community might be, az ha'kodesh baruch hu mechadesh ha'hevdel ha'machitza. Writes the Beis Halevi, in those kinds of situations, God makes sure that somehow, some way, that mechitza, that separation is going to be restored. Sometimes, he says, it will be through anti-Semitism, and sometimes it will be through other ways, but he says this is always the way that Jewish history has played itself out. And we find in the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, and in the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara says there are many different takanas, many different institutions that came into being, which were solely to remind the Jewish people about staying away from becoming too integrated and too close. For example, the Gemara says, we're not allowed to drink the wine that is served by the Umas HaOlam. Why? What's wrong? What did they put in it? There's nothing in it. There's nothing wrong with it. But still, we assume that if you're going to become too integrated, too involved, that could lead to something far worse. And many Rishonim explain the reason why Bishul Akum was instituted. Why do we have to make sure not to eat the food that is cooked by a non-Jew? Once again, Rashi writes in a number of places, Tosis writes the same thing, that the reason why is simply because we want to make some kind of separation. If we're going to be so accustomed to eating their food, they're going to be in our homes, we're going to be in their homes, this is something that is going to lead to intermarriage, it's going to lead to perhaps far worse things, and therefore the Rambam, Rashi, and the Bali HaTosis write as well, this was the impetus for the Takana of Bishul Akum. Now I mention this because if you look in our Parsha, we have a very unusual Pasuk, and the Pasuk in our Parsha is very difficult to properly understand. So let's just read what the Pasuk says. As we're told, Hishamar Lecha, be careful. Pentichros Bris Leyoshev Ha'aretz Asher Ata Ba'aleh. Be careful that you do not make a treaty with those who are going to be in your land. And then the Torah goes further. Pentichros Bris Leyoshev Ha'aretz. Why is there a problem for you to be engaged in some sort of agreement or a treaty with the host country, because then it's going to lead to something worse. Vizanu acharei Eloheim, vizavchu le'Eloheim. If you're going to become too involved and too integrated, then it will lead to you're being lured to their way of life. You're going to be fascinated by their way of worship, and you're going to be enchanted by all that they do. And therefore, says the pasuk, make sure you stay away, because v'kara lacha ve'achalta mizivcho. The next thing you know, they're going to invite you in to come and eat with them. V'lakachta mibinosav libanecha. You're going to then, why not? You may as well have your children marry their children. V'zanu binosav acharei Eloheim. V'hiznu esbanecha acharei Eloheim. Says the Torah, it's going to lead to horrible consequences. And therefore we are warned, make sure not to get too involved. Because if you get too involved, number one, it will lead you to avodah zarah. Number two, it will lead you to the challenge of staying away from intermarriage. So the question is, what exactly does this pasuk refer to when it says, v'kara lecha ve'achalta mizivcho, that you will be called by your non-Jewish neighbors, and you will eat from their offerings. What exactly does that mean? Very unclear. So the Ramban, both in his commentary on Chumash, as well as in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and the Sefer HaChinuch, and the way the Targum Yonasan and other Mefarshim explain, this is to be read literally exactly what it means. You are not allowed to engage in eating what we refer to as tikroves avodah zarah, meaning they are going to offer all kinds of animals to their idols that they worship, to their religion, and then they are going to invite you to take part in whatever celebration that they have from those animals that they sacrificed. You are not allowed to engage in eating in that kind of celebration which is connected with their avodah zarah. That, say the Rishonim, is what the simple reading of the pasuk actually means, that you're not allowed to be participating in something that has a connection to their religion, to their avodah zarah. Now, what about when we have the very common question today? I have some sort of business associate, or I have a next-door neighbor who's been a good friend for many, many years. He happens to be a non-Jew, a wonderful person, and he's making a wedding. And he invites me to the wedding. And the wedding is not in a church, and there's no problem with the place where it's being held. And he's going to have a kosher caterer with a room downstairs for all the Jewish neighbors on the block. Is this something that I would be allowed to participate in, or perhaps not? And that is something that the Gemara discusses in Maseches Avodah Zarah, and we'll have to see what the Psak Halacha Lamaisa is today. This is a question that comes up all the time in our society, where we are somewhat integrated, and we do work in the global markets where we do have many contemporaries and many business associates who are non-Jews. How do we deal with this challenge, and what exactly does the halacha say about that? So let's look at a Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara talks about this. And the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Omer, listen carefully, Yisrael Shebechutz La'aretz, the Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz, meaning us, Ovdei Avodes Kochavim B'Taharahein. That sounds like a contradiction in terms. What does it mean? Ovdei avodas kochavim b'tahara? If you're an oved avodah zarah, it means you're doing the wrong thing. So how could it be you're an oved avodas kochavim b'tahara, with purity? That doesn't make sense. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Ketzad, oved kochavim sha'asa mishtel abino. You have a non-Jewish associate who makes a wedding for his child. Vizimen kala Yehudim shebi'iro. And he invites all of the Jewish neighbors because he has such a good rapport with them. He has such a nice relationship. Af al pisha ochle mishelahem. Even though I come with my own package sandwich, and he invites a caterer that's under the glat kosher hashgacha, vishosim mishelahem, and we don't take the wine and the drinks from the non-Jewish party, visham mishelahem omid lefneim, and we even come with our own waiters and waitresses. We take nothing from that which is being served. We have our own arrangement there. Still, says the Gemara, male aleim akasav kilu achlu mizivchei mesim. That is in some way considered to be on the cusp of being an oved avodah zarah. And the Rambam quotes this Gemara in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, and he says we have to be careful. Oved kochavim she'asa lebeno ulebito mishte. If a non-Jewish associate makes some kind of party, some sort of celebration, aser lehenas misu udaso, we are not allowed to benefit from that kind of gathering. Va'afilu lecho v'lishtos ha'yisrael mishalosham. Even if, again, I'm coming with my own sandwiches, with my own things, I'm still not allowed to. And the Rambam explains, v'kol ha'archaka hazos mipnei avoda shel kochavim hu. Says the Rambam, the reason why is because it will lead, unfortunately, to avodah zarah. You're going to become interested, you're going to find something fascinating, and therefore we say, just do not participate in such a party, in such a gathering, even if all the food is kosher, even if everything is okay. It is ki'ilu oved avodah zarah b'tahara. Fascinating kind of statement. And the Rambam says, we learn this from the pasuk in our parsha, v'kara lecha v'achalta mizivcho, says the Rambam, that does not only mean that he's going to call you to participate in when he's serving his food, and when he's serving the animal that he sacrificed to the Avodah Zarah, when he's celebrating there. No, says the Rambam, that includes even a regular party, even his weddings, even his social gatherings. If you're going to participate in that, says the Rambam, it will lead ultimately perhaps to being an Ovid Avodah Zarah, and that is what the Pasuk means. And the Rishonim have a discussion how exactly to understand this. Does the Rambam really mean that this is what the Torah implied when it said, V'kara lecha v'achalta mizivcho? Is that really what the Torah says here? If you read the Pasuk carefully, it's not really that convincing that that's what the Torah meant. The Torah seems to be clear that it's talking a very limited case, that you're not allowed to participate in something that is connected directly to the Avodah Zarah. But here we have something which is so indirect. He happens to be making a wedding, and he happens to invite you, and you have a kosher caterer, and then you're going to go later on and be fooled into following his Avodah Zarah. That sounds like a big stretch. So they have a major discussion. Is this to be understood as an actual Issur D'oraisa that the Rambam says? Or is this only considered to be an Issur D'Rabbanan? And the Shach writes in Yeridaya that he assumes this is only in Asmachta Ba'alma. Says the Shach, if you find somebody who went to a non-Jewish wedding because he had a nice relationship with them, he says, would it dawn on anybody that in the times when we have a Beis Din that we should give him Malkus, would you say that he actually violated a real Issur D'oraisa? Hard to imagine. And therefore the Shach writes, this whole discussion is only an Issur Midrabbanan in the first place, but an Issur D'Rabbanan it is, and it's learned from this pasuk in our parsha. So, is there any room to be lenient? Is there any room to be makel? We all have these kinds of dilemmas at some point. We have a neighbor, or as we said, a business associate, who's going to invite us at some point to their function, and it's something we feel we have an obligation to participate in. Do we have a right to do so or not? And the answer is that a number of Rishonim say, when the Gemara tells us here you're not allowed to participate in their gatherings, in their parties, that is only when we're dealing with perhaps a real Oved Avodah Zarah, somebody who really serves Avodah Zarah. But what if you have somebody who is not serving Avodah Zarah? There's a major discussion how we look at some of the religions. So is Christianity considered to be real Avodah Zarah? They believe in the same God we believe in. They just believe that there's shutfas. They believe that there are other partners to God. But ultimately, they believe in the same God we do. How about the Yishma'elim? How about the Arabs? We assume they're not considered to be real Ovdei Avodah Zarah because, after all, they believe in the same God that we. They believe there was a prophet that we don't happen to believe in, but they do believe in the same God that we do. So ultimately, there are many who are Mekel, and they say that because, number one, we're dealing here, like the Shach writes, with only an Issur D'Rabbanan, and number two, there are many Rishonim who say that the whole prohibition that the Gemara describes here is only when you have a bona fide, real Ovid Avodah Zarah. So perhaps today, when that's not really what we're dealing with, unless you have an Indian partner who actually serves, you know, he believes in a deity, he believes in a whatever it is that he serves, a real idol, that would be a different story. But if you have the general classical case that we have today, perhaps there would be much room to be makel. So Rabbi Avadi Yosef actually has this kind of discussion. It's a very lengthy tshuva where he talks about the community in Beit Choron. It's a community in the West Bank. It's right near, not right near, but it's close to Givat Zev, if anyone knows where Givat Zev is. So Beit Choron is a community there. And apparently there was an Arab who was very instrumental in building the Jewish community up, who was extremely helpful, who was part of the municipality, and who was very involved in everything that happened to make the community the beautiful community that it is. And the question that they asked Rabbi Avadia was, this man was now making a wedding, and he asked that many of the Jewish members of the community participate in the wedding. After all, he considered himself to be a good friend of many of the Jewish community leaders who lived in Beit Choron, and he was really responsible for the community flourishing the way they did. And this was the question that was sent to Rabbi Avadia. And in the end of a long discussion, he writes that he thinks there is room to be makel, because since we're talking about, generally, the way you read the pasuk is, the concern that we have is that you're going to lead to Avodah Zarah. So perhaps, based on the understanding of many Rishonim, that if the person is not a real Ovid Avodah Zarah, he's just a Muslim, and a Muslim believes in the same God that we do, so perhaps, Rav Avadia said, there's a reason to say that we can be makel in that case, and you are allowed to participate, certainly, for somebody that you owe such a debt of gratitude toward. He was a great neighbor, he was a great friend, he was a person who developed your community and who invested so much in your future. This would be something that perhaps we would allow. And I've asked this question many, many times to Rabbi Asher Weiss from people in our community who have also been confronted with the same thing. And he also felt that there's room to be mekel, and we would allow a person to participate in such a wedding. Number one, because we assume this is only an issur d'rabbanan in the first place. Number two, there's reason to say that if the person that we're dealing with is not a real bona fide oved avodah zarah, maybe there's a reason for us to say that we could be mekel. And number three, he says it's a little bit far for us to imagine that we're actually going to lead ourselves to intermarriage as a result of this. I will make one final comment, and that is, I go very often to the OU on Fridays, and sometimes they have very, very serious questions about Bishul Akum. You have a factory out in Kansas somewhere, and you're not able to have a Jew there all the time, and it's a big question about Bishul Akum, and what are the limitations of Bishul Akum, and where's the room to be mekel? And my father made a comment a few weeks ago. He said that, yes, it's true, we have many, many kulas that we apply when we deal with the laws of Bishul Akum. After all, it's only Nisa D'Rabbanan, and many Achronim have said many Heterim and many kulas, and he said Rabbi Belsky told him a few years ago, it's true that we have many reasons to be mekel by Bishul Akum, and we need to make life livable for those of us living in Galus. However, Rabbi Belsky made a comment, we have more kulas in Bishul Akum today than we've ever had before, but we also have more intermarriage today than we've ever had before. And maybe there's some correlation there. After all, the Gemara says, Bishul Akum, the reason why it was instituted in the first place, the Rishonim say, is Mishum Benoseyem, because we were concerned that it would lead to intermarriage. So maybe there is some kind of correlation between all the Heterim that we use in Bishul Akum and all the loopholes that we figured out in Halacha. Maybe there is a reason to think twice before we apply all of these halachic kulas that we've come up with many of them are legitimate, but we have to be a little bit careful about this issue, and don't think that intermarriage is not a problem that we struggle with. As a community, it is something that we do, and that's why the Torah itself has many, many places where it warns us to make sure to make that barrier and to keep that separation from going over the limits of where it's supposed to be.